Hello, I'm Jo Beckett, CEO of IDPE, and today we're joined by Philip Britton, Headmaster, and Laura Firth, Head of Development at Bolton School. So I was curious about how long the two of you have actually worked together.
So I joined the Schools Development Office in 2012, and we've collaborated ever since, and then when I moved up to become Head of Development 2.5 years ago, we obviously the relationship has strengthened since then.
So about 7 years?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And during that time, what are the major challenges that you faced in your working relationship? I mean, presumably you've sort of, you've had periods of challenge and change. How have you, what have those challenges been and how have you overcome them?
Well, we were in campaign mode for 4 of the past 7 years, so that obviously throws up its own challenges, both in terms of securing the gifts that are going to help you achieve your target and keeping everything else ticking over. There's also the usual friction between the work, the life of a school and the work of the development office, which just naturally occurs, I think, in every school. We've got some challenging individuals amongst our old boys and old girls, who doesn't? So there's plenty of things to keep us occupied, but I think in all of those instances, we both presume that the other is acting in good faith, and we bear that in mind, and then we're honest with one another and try and work together to find a solution rather than becoming mired in the problem itself.
So honesty is a big...
I think it all works if you have a good sense of trust between one another, and also a clear sense of shared purpose about what the point of development work is. And I think perhaps that's more difficult in situations where governing bodies may have designed a development function thinking that it was the right thing to do without having given enough thought to exactly what it was they wanted to have happen, and not articulated carefully enough or involved the head enough in what that would look like. Because clearly in an everyday sense, the development office will want to introduce old boys and old girls into a school, and yet the school has its day job, and sometimes it really isn't convenient to have someone give a talk on some random subject that happens to interest them, but we must try to round up an audience to listen to that. It will always be good things. It's always not so much the content and skills that an old boy will bring to the school. It's usually a problem of timing, in that you wouldn't actually wish that talk or lecture or visit to be right then. But an understanding of when actually it needn't be right then and the date could change, and on other occasions this potential giver is important, might be crucial to the future of the school, can only offer that date, and therefore we absolutely must do something at that time, is important as well. So I think that's where that trust and collaboration works on a day-to-day basis. That provides the oil to the process, but the direction, the sense of direction and why we are doing it makes a number of things possible that would otherwise be very difficult if you just approach them as logistical exercises.
Yeah, so it's a shared purpose, you're on a shared path, but it's also, you know, being flexible and understanding whole needs of the school community, and balancing the two, from the sounds of it. And trust, you mentioned that word several times. I'm just wondering, sort of reflecting back to when you first started working together in 2012, you know, what were the sort of the building blocks to establishing that trust in your relationship?
I think early on I tried to be really open with both of the heads. I would always ask them what input they would like and then respect that. Philip and Sue are the headmistress in the girls' division, want to be involved in very different things, so I just have to have that individual relationship with both of them and then respect what they've said, and also to ask which donors and stakeholders they particularly might like to take the lead on or already have a well-established relationship with, that I can just augment what they're doing and support them with continuing to develop that. And then just having their endorsement, them introducing you at drinks events or introducing you to speak, asking you to come and speak at inset sessions, so that the whole school community understands that you have their blessing to do your job and to do it well.
So sort of giving you the endorsement and giving you the platform that you need and the introductions you need.
Exactly.
I think that the engagement with the whole school community is really important in two ways. One of the great positives around development work at our school has been that the old boys and girls can very often bring an enormous wealth of experience into the school, And in fact, we've more or less redesigned our careers programme around using alumni contacts to tell the story of their lives as part of careers. And that in terms of development is very definitely friendship raising. There's no doubt that creates the warmth with the school. We have used somebody's talents, they've offered their talents, we've used them. They often have a nice time when they come into school, and that provides the next steps to that purpose. But it also has the fringe benefit of current colleagues in the school, teaching colleagues, seeing that the development office has a function. Arguably, actually, then overusing that, you know, the other side of that pendulum is, I need a speaker, get me one, which is almost an additional type of difficulty compared to the, what's the development office? Do they live in that building? Are they anything to do with the life of the school? And I think it has been important regularly to have the development office at routine staff inset, just for not a lengthy talk, but just 5 or 10 minutes. Here we are, here's what we're doing, here's why it's important, so that current colleagues understand that they're a vital part of retaining the school that they enjoy working in.
It's quite clear, talking to you both, that you put development at the heart of the school and it's integrated with everything that you do. I'm just wondering what your, on a practical basis, you know, what your working relationship looks like, you know, on a daily, weekly, termly, yearly basis. How often do you see each other? How often, what time is spent?
So I would see Philip for a one-to-one fortnightly, but also the headmistress and the clerk and treasurer both individually. And I actually report to the clerk and treasurer, which is what we call our bursar. We have, I would say, daily email contact, some of that lengthy, some of that just have you done, can you do, type correspondence. And then on a termly basis, my development manager and I meet with both heads to have a look at the alumni relations and fundraising programme in its entirety, plan ahead for that term and the term after, and look even further ahead and work out what we want to achieve in the following academic year, and then so that we can then set the work in place that will enable us to achieve that. I think a lot of our success is down to planning, and planning well in advance.
So there's constantly reviewing and looking forward at the vision, where you're going, and working together.
And at all of those different levels, I think some of those meetings, particularly where the two heads and the development office meet, are very strategic in nature, and thinking through the bigger picture. Obviously, the development committee of governors does a little of that, but arguably the engine room is that meeting of the heads and the development office. Then the meetings one-on-one with heads can be very operational, which is what are we doing in the diary over the next little while. But then I think on a daily basis, it's from my point of view, very often the kind of tactical side of school life. I will get an email from an old boy, and I always check in with the development office about where we're up to. Do we know them? I would view every contact from an alumni as a potential opportunity for something. And if I was just to dash off a reply dealing with what the letter was actually about, we might well miss an opportunity. So checking back, when did we last see this person? What have they been to? What might be the next steps for such a person? What event will they be near? What would be the right cultivation for a person, or what is it right to say thank you for? And that, if you like, is a reactive side of development office life. The proactive side is the routine signing of a letter that is because somebody has pledged, and that's what we do. And those are two very different parts to the work. I think an area of considerable success recently has been trying to draw in more colleagues to that way of thinking, because a lot of alumni cultivation can be lost if teaching colleagues are having exactly that same correspondence I've just described without checking back with the development office. It could well be that somebody really liked their biology teacher, their history teacher, the person who led scouts, and are regularly in touch. But they just have whatever conversation is on that person's mind, rather than just adding a little bit of school context to that and those next steps. So we've moved to...
How have you gone about that? How have you gone about engaging your wider sort of internal community to come on board?
We remind them of our presence quite regularly. So academic staff are invited to come and attend the regional dinners that we do around the country to meet up with recent leavers and older alumni who might remember them or will know them, know their work. We go to INSET, as I say, usually at least once an academic year, but we also have scheduled emails sent from the heads to remind them at graduation time that you may be hearing from people. If you are, please share their news with us. To remind them of the alumni networking platform that we use, Graduate, and that they can register to contact alums. And also to remind them that if anybody does get in touch, we can offer them their help, we can help host them. But equally, if they're looking for speakers, MedSoc, say, or our Archery Society, I don't know, we can probably find somebody who could do a good talk for them one lunchtime. So just reminding them all the time that we are of use to them, I think, goes a long way. And some people are converts, some people aren't, and that's fine. We just work with what we have, really.
If you've been appointed as a new development director of a school or a new head of a school, what advice would you actually give for them to work collaboratively together and successfully?
I would say I try and cultivate and steward my relationships with the heads as I would do with a major donor. I take great care. I try and respect the time that they give to us because it's incredibly significant. And I guard their time ruthlessly. I don't waste their time with people, and equally, they only need to have coffee for half an hour. It doesn't need to be a full day affair. Treat the level of access you have to the diaries with respect and really plan ahead. So if you need to write something on their behalf or you need copy approval for something, give it them with 2 weeks' notice so that they're not having to turn it around that same night, because the diaries are incredibly busy, and having as much time as possible obviously helps them out a great deal.
So from the development director's perspective, almost treating the head as, you know, as a donor.
Correct, yeah.
And from the head's perspective?
I think a new head arriving in a school will have a lot of sense of immediate priorities, and they will be the girls and boys in the school getting to know their common room. Perhaps there are curriculum issues, teaching and learning issues. They will all seem very immediate, but I think a head needs to step back from that and recognise that development is likely to be a really crucial part of their future in the school, and indeed the future of their school. And so to prioritise a sense of getting to know how a school deals with its alumni, how that plays into development. I think getting to know the stories of the school life. Very often schools will have two or three significant heads. They will have bits of extracurricular activity that are hugely important, that have always happened. These are the dog whistles of alumni life that people will hear and rally to and feel affection for the school. And I think a head arriving at a school will be missing something if they don't prioritise the importance of understanding that part of school life. So I think getting to know the narrative of your school, your school's story, and two other strands, I think, in developing that relationship would be that of giving it time and prioritising that time and allowing the access to the diary that has just been mentioned. And as we've touched on elsewhere, developing that sense of an easy working relationship and trust. And to be clear, what it is that you do value and do want, that could be anything from the run chart for an event, which are somewhat famous in our school life, but it is hugely valuable to know who's doing what, when, and what you're meant to be saying to who. And the background briefing on a donor that will equally be very, very important in framing the discussion, and the trust and confidence around knowing that you will have what you need to have when you need to have it, but not necessarily before, is very important indeed.
Wonderful. Thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you.